This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 214. This is one of our Ignite shorts where we're going to talk to Taylor Brown and get caught up about Windows containers. Recorded live, September the 25th, 2017. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, and the competitive landscape and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
Send us a tweet, either to the show at MS Cloud Show, or to Andrew at Andrew Connell.
Or Chris at LoungeFlyZ.
As we'd love to connect with you. We're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 5 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check us out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
CJ and I today are again at the Ignite 2017 conference in Orlando, Florida. Today, we have another one of our Ignite short episodes we introduced last year at the Ignite 2016 conference. These Ignite short episodes are a little bit shorter than our normal episodes. They're maybe a little bit like maybe 20 minutes, maybe about 30 minutes, but they're a little bit shorter than what we're used to doing. In this one, we sat down with Taylor Brown. We caught up with Taylor Brown. If you may remember him as a former guest of the podcast. Taylor is has in the past come and talked to us about Windows containers, and today he gave us an update on what they've been doing in the container space around Windows. But as you'll hear, we talked a little bit about the support for Linux inside of Windows as well, as that's another piece that he owns as well today. So I'm going to just go ahead and play this interview and let you guys go ahead and enjoy it, sit back and enjoy it. Don't forget, we do have a live show on September the 26th at 11 o'clock. That's Tuesday. If you're listening to this show when it first came out, that's tomorrow morning. So hope you guys tune in. If you miss it, don't worry. We are going to publish the live show as a full-length episode as well. So sit back and relax and enjoy the episode.
What if you could take any process your teams use to get work done and make it happen automatically? What if you could save countless hours and help people work better together? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back, and it flows in and out of the tools that you use every day. With Nintex, work flows so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
All right, so I'm here with Taylor Brown at Microsoft Ignite. You've got a bunch going on this week, Taylor, but first up, why don't you just introduce yourselves to our audience? You've been on the show before. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for those who haven't listened to that show, who are you and what do you do at Microsoft?
So I've been at Microsoft for almost 15 years now. The bulk of my career has been on the virtual machine team. So mm-hmm. I started and worked on virtual PC, virtual server, all through Hyper-V. And then I started working on containers about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
The evolution of virtualization.
So I got referred to yesterday as the father of containers and Windows, which I think is a little extreme. There's many people who contributed to it, but take it.
That's not a bad thing to have.
Containers have been really my life for the last couple years.
Yeah, I bet. So you've been flat out, heads down, bringing the world of containers to Windows Server and Windows 10, I guess, client as well as server. And bring all that goodness to the dev world. It sounds like, based on your schedule this week, that things are really taking off in the container space for in the Microsoft area now.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got multiple sessions. We're doing a keynote demonstration today. We had one earlier today. And then on Wednesday, I've got two sessions, one on how to modernize your entire application stack from the front end all the way through the middle tier with Scott Hunter.
Gotcha.
So we're talking about how do you take that front
moving
end,
your apps and things,
move the actual UI into effectively into a container using our app converter tooling, move that middle tier into a container, move the database, get that into Azure, start to modernize that whole application. And then right after that, I've got a session on Windows Server version 1709.
Yeah, I've
talking
heard.
About all of our new cool stuff that's in 1709.
Gotcha.
Part of that semi-annual channel, so now we get to ship every 6 months.
That's a really interesting point that that I was going to bring up if it didn't sort of come up in conversation, is you guys are shifting the release cadence for Windows Server to sort of match, not match, but along similar lines to what's happening in the Windows client with you know, insider builds and preview builds and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it actually is a match. So we specifically tried to align everything with Windows and with Office. So all of these semi-annual channels are coming out together.
Gotcha.
So that you can deliver that content and those experiences across the product lines.
Gotcha.
And as we're doing that, we're having to understand a little bit about how people consume various products, right? Updating your server automatically to a new flight, probably not what most server admins are looking for. That's probably not the experience that they're going to be after, but being able to give new builds every couple weeks and make those easy to consume so that people can try out new features, give us feedback on them. And then as we're working with these open source communities like Docker and Kubernetes and so on, they need access to those builds so that we can start doing joint development.
Together. Right? Yeah, a bit.
So it's a pretty exciting time. This is actually something I've been trying to do with Windows Server for since 2008.
Right, I was going to say, we can give IT pros grief on this show because we're mostly dev focused. And so while they're upset about you know semi-annual builds, they're still thinking about Service Pack 3 of Windows 2008 R2.
Right.
But no, I can imagine. And so from a dev's perspective, having more or faster release cadence is pretty exciting, especially for the work that you've been working on around containers. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've been thinking about or releasing recently around containers that impacts that?
So a couple things that are big in the 1709, which you can get on Windows 10 if you're an insider, or as that becomes released, or on server. We reduced the size of both Nano and Server Core by a lot.
Gotcha.
Nano is now down to 200 megs.
Right.
In total
so
size.
More like gigs in the past?
It was about a gig.
Gotcha.
So we took it down to 200 meg. It downloads in like 9 seconds now.
So when you pull an image, it takes a little less.
Our goal with that is to get to Linux.
Gotcha.
Is to compete with Linux at .NET Core. So that was kind of the line we said is, hey, if Alpine with .NET Core can be 90 megs.
We got to get to that.
We need to be competitive with that,
right?
That's
fair.
I mean, that's a real user tangible thing, right?
Gotcha.
And we're on our way. This is a pretty good process. Server Core went down equally by like 50%.
Wow.
Just through some optimizations we were able to find in it.
Printing some things out, doing some things like that.
And so as we're looking forward, we're continuing down that path with Server Core and Nano, trying to reduce the size even further, make it easier for people to consume that and faster. At the same time, we're also working on Kubernetes support. Mm-hmm. So at this point, we've got almost to full parity with Linux on the networking side, which is a huge amount of work. The networking team really, really worked hard on that.
Gotcha.
We're adding pod support, our first kind of experience around pod support. We're doing more around that for the spring release, the 18.03 release. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a continuation. So we're going to have really great Kubernetes support. Wow. We've improved our Docker Swarm support. And then, of course, we added Linux containers.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that's that was a big, huge one.
Big update there, yeah.
But, like, notice how I, like, drop that in at the very end. Like, by the way.
That's goodness.
We also made Linux work perfectly on Windows.
If you need to step back to some Linux containers, you can do it on Windows.
Well, and what I expect, and we've already had people starting to do this, is you're going to see developers take the best tools and combine them together.
Gotcha.
So as they're modernizing something, it might be a .NET 3.5 or 4.6 front end. Now they can put a Redis middle tier in there.
Yep.
They can use the Linux image of that if they want to, or they can combine that with some other, you know, maybe it's a Java Spring platform they want to combine with it, right? Whatever tool works the best for them, like they can bring all those pieces together.
It's a really good point because it's, you know, a company or an organization might be, you know, have standardized on running Windows servers in their organization. And in the past, that would have meant only running things that work on Windows in those environments. But now, like you said, you get to choose the best tool for the job, and it could be a mashup of a whole bunch of different things, mm-hmm. And picking the best pieces.
Yeah.
So that sounds, that works on the Hyper-V isolation type model, right?
Yep. Yeah.
One of the things that I get asked a lot is, so containers, it's another isolation and virtualization type of technology. What's the difference between that and just me running a virtual machine? And you guys have done a lot of work with Hyper-V to make that really fast and snappy and lightweight, mm-hmm. right? So it's not you're not running a full virtual machine.
Yeah, when we run in this Hyper-V isolation mode, we're running a special virtual machine.
Right.
It uses a different memory architecture, it uses cloning technology, uses a different storage path, different networking path. Everything is optimized to run a container.
Gotcha.
The commonality is that it's all in the hypervisor. It's the same virtual processors and that kind of stuff. Same isolation, but the experience around it is vastly different.
I see. So I guess the idea with this Linux and Windows kind of hybrid ecosystem is, if I'm a Docker developer, for example, I can just Docker run a particular image, and you guys take care of actually spinning that container up in the right place and putting it in the right spot in Hyper-V and all that, and it just runs like if I was running on a on a Ubuntu box or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you grab the preview today, you'll have to run two different Docker engines side by side.
Mm.
The pull request is already in to fix that, so that we actually detect the right runtime for it and just spin that up. At the same time, we just added multi-arch support to images. So now an image like .NET Core can be described as a Windows and a Linux flavor, an x86 and an x64, and an ARM flavor, mainframe flavor, all of
it. It's one image,
it's
right?
It's one manifest that just knows how to pick.
Gotcha.
That's nice.
Which has actually posed an interesting question to us, like, okay, on a machine where we can run both, which one do you choose?
Yeah, good call. Interesting.
Good problem to have now.
Yeah, that was a long debate last night at dinner about, like, what should it be?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really interesting. I had that image issue. I run a Raspberry Pi to do some stuff with, and was pulling an image, and I was getting a bad exec format problem, and I was like, oh, I think I've got the wrong kind of image. Mm-hmm. It'll be kind of nice on Windows, you just Docker run, and away you go, and you're up and running.
Yeah.
So also, you mentioned before we started the show that you're also looking after the Windows subsystem for Linux now as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's fairly closely aligned with this stuff. But for those who aren't familiar, do you want to explain that very briefly?
So the Windows subsystem for Linux, or we called it Bash before, but it's kind of now expanded as we have multiple different runtimes for it, is a way for us to run real Linux binaries, ELF-formatted binaries, natively on Windows. And unlike a container, it's actually running integrated with your desktop. So for example, I run all of my Git commands and everything in WSL because I like running the native version of Git. I'm running the ELF formatted Git, and I'm pulling that into a directory on my Windows 10 machine.
Mounted.
Where I can, it's auto-mounted, where I can run Linux tools against it and Windows tools against it. And in fact, I can even spawn Windows commands from WSL.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
And so, it becomes this very interesting Inception model. So often I'll even run docker.exe from WSL as I'm building images and working on stuff.
So you just have all this stuff running just inside of Linux, but it's able to take advantage of all the same resources you have on your Windows machine.
Right.
So you don't really, it doesn't feel, it's just the exe is just running in a different spot.
You can't quite run Docker in that subsystem yet, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Gotcha.
With the right kind of flags, it now works just by virtue of the work we're doing to increase the WSL subsystem.
Gotcha.
That's not a target for us. We're really more excited about the native Linux container support, because that's running a real Linux kernel from a distro you choose. So in production, you're running kind of the exact
same.
So we think that that's probably a better experience for users in the long run than running it under WSL. But frankly, we're up for people to tell us what they want.
Right? Yeah,
if they're like, hey, we really love this, and you know, as the compatibility continues to improve on WSL, it just works for them. Running Windows 10, I'm happy.
Yeah, I have. That's how I run my home setup. Is I have WSL running, got my Bash window open, all that. And when I run containers, it's really just talking to Docker on my Windows box, running that stuff for me.
Yep, exactly. And it's a pretty nice experience.
End to end. you get pick and choose the best tools that you want to use on the container side. You can also do that with your command line and what tools you use on that side of the fence as well.
And one of the things I'm really excited about, another part of my team, so I own all of the developer experiences from Base now. We're working on better Linux VM support now for the spring, targeting the spring release. So we're trying to figure out how to do some better graphics integration.
Gotcha.
Start doing some of the shared foldering experiences, those kind of things. Even thinking about some ways to connect a shell session over like a COM port.
Yeah.
Just give a real great native Linux VM experience.
I did get an Xterm running on my Windows box and got XEyes up and running out of the WSL, which I thought was pretty cool. I haven't used it for anything else. But
one of the things we talked about, talking about the developer story, I know last year when we sat down at Ignite, we talked a little bit about that you guys may be working on some of the experience with like Docker for Windows, Docker for Mac, and being able to know when you go to spin up that VM or when you go to spin up a container that it's smart enough to know which of the VMs it's going to spin up.
Yeah.
So you alluded to a little bit of that on the Windows side too. What does that look like for like the whole story?
So on the Windows side, the way that this will end up evolving is that you won't have to choose between Linux and Windows anymore. It'll just know.
It just figures it out.
It'll just have one option, and it'll just magically just kind of work, right?
Okay.
On the Mac side, the closest experience that we can kind of build is with VMs because there isn't this native experience. So you're going to have a Linux VM and a Windows VM. With the Insider channel, that gives us an opportunity to deliver Windows Server VMs to a Mac user and give them that experience.
Gotcha.
Finally.
Gotcha.
So we're looking at some of that tooling and how we can help that Mac user get into the Windows Server Insider program, grab those ISOs and those VHDs, and have a good experience as well.
Gotcha.
So it sounds like you're doing a lot of work on the orchestration side as well, right? Especially you alluded to the work with Kubernetes.
Yeah.
Can you go into a little detail on what that means for Microsoft and what you guys are working on with them?
Yeah. So you know, we've been part of the Kubernetes community for a while, but it's really increased as we've got folks like Brendan Burns working on Kubernetes, Gabe Monroy from the DS team now working on it. And then we've just jumped in full board with the Windows side.
Gotcha.
So we did a bunch of work with networking to get to really close to Linux parity with our networking stack in 17.09. The networking team just
crushed it.
Yeah, they really went all in. But now we've got a bunch of work to do on the Windows side, like how do we get pods to work under Hyper-V isolation?
Gotcha, I see.
That, we've got an idea, we've got our plan, but we've got to go off and build that now.
Right.
So we're pretty excited about being able to kind of jump in and do a bunch of that work. And a lot of this is things that'll contribute to Azure, but also to on-prem. Mm. So we've got a partnership that we announced with Red Hat to bring OpenShift to on-prem with Windows support. We're doing all that work in the upstream Kubernetes repos.
Gotcha.
So all of the Kubernetes distributions can take advantage of that work.
And all the great tooling and everything that comes across the top of that with the customer's tools of choice. Like
right, Helm and all of these things will just start to light up across these different experiences, right?
Gotcha.
You know, and this is, you know, people talk about the new Microsoft and it almost gets a little overplayed now, but this is the value that we get out of integrating with these communities is that our impact is multiplied. It's multiplied by all the thousands of developers that are working on all of these tools across all the different stacks. And when we put these foundational pieces in, like Linux containers on Windows Server, we just take advantage of all of that mind share and all of that experience that people are building.
Well, suddenly, from an outside perspective, it also suddenly makes Microsoft a more viable choice, right? Or Windows a viable choice, or whatever it happens to be the tool.
Yep.
Whereas that community in the past have said, well, they don't sort of play in our pool, right? So we're not going to think about that. But I think it's really changed the view and opinion, and people are starting to come around much quicker and faster and stronger than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, and you see what Azure's doing around that, right? And how do we differentiate Azure? Well, we can differentiate Azure by being a great enterprise cloud, but we can also be an amazing open source cloud.
Right.
And we're just continuing to add really cool pieces to that puzzle that enable these kind of great end-to-end experiences.
Yeah. So I saw, speaking of Azure, recently Azure Container Instances. ACI came out.
Yep.
That was really, really interesting. That to me looks like the first step of true CAS, right? Where I don't care where it runs, I just want you to run it and orchestrate it for me, and I tell you what my app needs to look like, and then you go get it running.
Yeah, I don't care about the VMs. Just like I don't care about the physical machines now, I don't care about the VMs, I don't care about the host. Right. I just want CPU, memory, and disk.
Yep. Yep. And then if you've seen the Kubernetes bridge to that, that's just a really cool experience. Yeah. You go into your Kubernetes and look at the nodes, and you've got like this infinitely scalable node.
It's really cool. I tried that once. Yeah.
Limited only by your credit card, right?
Or until the cops come knocking on your door.
But that, like, it, for me, I think about cloud bursting, and we talked about cloud bursting for years and how great it's going to be when we can do that, and it's never been really true.
Yeah.
Like, there's been apps that do it, and unicorns exist, but we're getting closer to that point where, like, the average app can just say, like, okay, I'm running on-prem most of the time, but I'm going to cloud burst into Azure.
Yeah.
Or even across different regions in Azure based on demand, and it's a pretty exciting time.
It really is. The ACI really opens up. I know there was the news stack did something where they said, when you guys announced that, it's like that this looks like the silver bullet again on serverless.
Yeah.
And it really feels like that. It's like the one thing that we need is just the management piece. So like right now we still have to have that Kubernetes host, that master node that's going to go through and be able to watch everything.
And
still,
run that stuff. Same with Mesos and things. Yeah. And
you still have to have the head, right? But once we get past that point of not having to have the head, and then having the head even managed for us as well, and you don't have to babysit the VM that's going to be running the head, then we're at that point that I know you and I, CJ, have talked about it for a couple of years now, where when are we going to get to that CAS point where we really see we don't care about the VMs.
And I think Microsoft is in the right position right now to really capitalize on that and show our leadership in this area, in this ecosystem, right? With the full stack of tools. We've got Draft on the top, giving you a really awesome kind of way to describe your apps and hand those over to Helm. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Azure Container Instances. We've got a lot of Kubernetes experience now. Mm-hmm. We've got the infrastructure underneath it. We're starting to work on Minikube support in Windows to make that an awesome experience, right? All of these pieces start to come together. And it's pretty amazing.
It really is. It's a fun time. It's a really fun time right now.
It's all happened in a relatively short period of time.
It's very fast.
Historically, Windows has been around for a long time, but it's been very quick.
I mean, when we get into these, it's really amazing what I can get from the developers when I give them 10 weeks of development time, right? And I can ship that feature in 10 weeks and say, like, all right, you know, it's small. It's smaller than what we do when we had a 3-year cycle.
Right.
But I get a bunch of those 10-week cycles, and cumulatively, we get a much, much better feature set, and one that we can kind of steer and change as we evolve it based on the feedback we get from the community, from developers, from fans. I mean,
Have you, out of interest, before we wrap up, I know you're short on time, but have you sat down with Dave Cutler and gone, look what you started?
I have not. he works in the building right next to mine.
Right.
But I have not had a chance to sit down with him and talk about
That'd be pretty cool, because he laid the framework for a lot of this way back, right?
Landy Wang, who's one of the memory architects, he still continues to work on the memory manager. And it's interesting, he kind of saw a lot of this kind of coming and continues to build little pieces of it. And it's like, oh, interesting, Landy had a thing for that
I'm
already.
I'm ready for you.
You know, maybe he, like, why didn't you tell us that you wanted us to do that before?
Yeah, because I think originally MT was built with the ability to do some of the similar things to WSL, right, where you could run different subsystems.
Yep. The Pico process model that we built around, it's a little bit of an evolution around that.
I see.
And originally the old POSIX subsystem that was there worked reasonably well, but it really had some integration challenges. Mm. I think we're solving a number of those with WSL by making it more of a true difference. So I'm in WSL, I do WSL things. I'm in Windows, I can do Windows things. And there's bridges of continuity between the two that connect those experiences together, as opposed to trying to be the common denominator in the middle, which is challenging to do. Sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate the time coming back on the show. Thanks again for coming back.
Love being here.
Yeah. And updating everybody on what's going on in the container world. So thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.